Tonight we're going to look on, we have started to look on Acts chapter 8. The last time we were here, we look on Acts chapter 8, 1 to 4, and we saw where persecution broke out in the early church. And that persecution, where the devil thought that it was a good thing for him, God has used that chaos that he has plunged the church into to a brand new revelation for his own purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because as a result of the persecution, as a result of the scattering of the brethren, the prophecy that Jesus spoke of in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 was fulfilled. Ye shall receive power. After that ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that persecution that we saw there in Acts chapter 8 fulfilled that prophecy. As we see the brethren went out of town, out of Jerusalem, and they were scattered abroad all over the place. And they preached the word of God. We're not talking about the disciples now, or the apostles, because the word tells us that all the apostles remain in Jerusalem. But we're talking about the brethren, you and me, the common people in the church, went across, right across the different region, and start preaching, start witnessing, start telling somebody about who Jesus is and what Jesus meant for them. And from that, the word of God started to spread like wildfire. People start getting saved. Deliverance came, and all the rest. We're going to read about one such person who went down to Samaria in just a little while. And people all over the place start to hear about this man called Jesus. What the enemy thought that he was doing to kill the work, to silence God's people. He did not know about the plan that God has. And as a result of that, instead of the work being killed, the church multiplied vastly too. And people got saved in different places.
Yes.
Because everywhere the disciples went, the believers went, they carry with them the word of God and tell somebody. And I believe that that same Holy Ghost, the same Holy Spirit that was with the early brethren in helping them to go into different areas. Remember something vital that Jesus said in Acts. In John 16, Jesus said to the disciples that it is expedient for you that I go away.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't go away, another comforter will not come.
Yes.
And what we discover, what Jesus was conveying to them, it is important that they understand that he, Jesus, could only be at one place at a time because of his human status. But the Holy Ghost has the ability to be everywhere at the same time. The word tells us that the church in Jerusalem was a multitude of people. The young church, before this Acts 8 came, before the persecution broke out, the word tells us in Acts 4 that it was a multitude of people. And every single one of them who scattered from Jerusalem, take along with them the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has the ability to split up among all the believers, regardless of where they are. They have and possess the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, look, it is important for you that I go away. Because if I don't go, then this Holy Ghost will not come. And when he has come, when he came, we saw the work that he did. 120 in the upper room, the initial move of him. And all of them were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Equal power they received of this Holy Ghost. As he launched the church in the upper room there. And after that, many people came on. At once, there 3,000 came on. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And then at stage, 3,000 came on. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And the word said, the Lord add daily unto the church those who would be saved. A multitude of people, each of them have the Holy Ghost. So the power of the Holy Ghost went abroad with all these believers. And the Holy Ghost used them to speak towards Jesus, to speak about Jesus. Because you need to remember that the Holy Ghost's responsibility is not to speak of himself, but to put the floodlight upon Jesus. So everywhere, any one of them minister, they were ministering, speaking about Jesus. Because the Holy Ghost gave them the utterance to speak to that end, speak about Jesus. So what the enemy thought he was doing to silence the church, he got a new day coming. When persecution broke out, it multiplies the brethren, and it gives them power to witness. That level of boldness, powered by the blessed Holy Spirit, could be felt in different regions as the disciples would split up from Jerusalem. And so tonight we're going to spend a little time and look on one such person who left Jerusalem as a result of the persecution. And that person is Philip. And you remember who Philip is. Philip was one of the deacons, one of the 7 deacons that were called when the rumor broke out. This is another attempt that the enemy made to break up the church. He put one set of people in the church against the other. Acts chapter 6 tells us that. One set of people were complaining that they weren't satisfied with how they were being treated. In other words, they thought that they were treated less than another set. And the wisdom of the apostles came up with a solution under the leadership of the Holy Ghost and said to the entire company, choose among you 7 men. 7 men who are filled with the Holy Ghost and such thing, that they might serve the people, and we will give ourselves to prayer and the word. And what did they do? They went about and they select 7 people, 7 men. And the 7 men serve the people well and kill the rumor. Kill what the enemy was trying to do, to set the, to split the church so that it become null and void. The enemy intention was to destroy the church by this means, by putting brother against brother in the church, sister against sister in the church. But a solution was found that unifies the whole thing. And the enemy got a blow, a very savage blow, because the people were satisfied with how they were being treated as a result of that decision. And one of them was Philip. One of them was Philip. And Philip was filled with the Holy Ghost, which was one of the qualifications that every one of those deacons should have. And we heard a little bit about him after that, until when he went down to Samaria, which is one of the places that the Lord Jesus said, they shall be witnesses unto him. And that is where we are picking up tonight. That is where we would like to pick up from tonight. That Philip went down to Samaria, according to verse 5 of Acts chapter 8. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing miracle which he did. I stop at those two verses first. Philip went down to Samaria as a result of the persecution. And what did Philip do?
Preach.
The word said Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ. Christ unto them. Not himself. And this is very, very enlightening to all of us here. Because from time to time we do expose to other preachers. And even our own preacher here in the Apostolic Church in America. And what we expect to happen is that the servant of God need to preach the Lord Jesus. I've been to a lot of crusades. I've been to other churches. And sometimes you wonder if it's Christ being preached or the preacher preaching himself. And we cannot lose sight of this. Because the purpose, as I've said just now, of the Holy Ghost is to shine the floodlight upon Jesus. And if we preachers, if we, when we are ministering, our intention is not to put that floodlight upon Jesus, then we are really missing the mark. I agree that illustrations, there's nobody tell story in their preaching more than Jesus. Jesus would look on the field and Jesus would say something about the field. Jesus would look on people and Jesus would make statements that are relevant to what his ministry is or to what he's saying at the moment. So as to bring about a truth, he would use certain illustrations to bring out a truth that match what he is saying. Not to preach about himself. Not to preach about himself, but to really preach about the Godhead and the mercy and the love that God has exhibited through him to save humanity. And therefore, it is our responsibility to, as preachers, as ministers, that we put the floodlight up on Jesus where it belongs. Because it is he who stretched out on that cross. It is he who died on Calvary to save us from sin. It is he alone who died. The word tells us that his right hand and his holy arm has gotten him the victory. All power, all glory need to go to him. Because he did it all by himself. And so the word tells us that Philip went down there and Philip preached Christ. Philip preached Jesus. Listen to how the Apostle Paul. Listen to how the Apostle Paul take this view. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I read from verse 1 to 5. Listen to how the Apostle Paul look on the importance of not missing the focus upon Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I read from verse 1 to verse 5. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Last verse, verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Listen to that. Because the apostle understands very well that his mission is to elevate Jesus. And that is what Philip did under the leadership of the Blessed Holy Spirit. He preached Jesus. He preached Christ. He preached the purpose for which Jesus came. He went down to Samaria and he preached Christ. Amen. One last scripture before we move on from here. Luke 4:36. Luke chapter 4 and verse 36. Let us see what that says. Luke 4:36. Luke 4:36. Yes. Listen to what it says. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirit, and they came out. They watched Jesus. They watched Jesus. And we are going to look at something more pertaining to this in a little while. They watched Jesus. And they listened to Jesus' word. And they were all amazed at the words and the authority behind those words as Jesus spoke. And as he spoke, what happened? Result came unclean spirit came out of many, which we will revisit in a little while. I am saying to all of us this evening that it is important that every preacher take a cue from Philip here. And whenever time we are called upon to minister, we need to focus. We need to focus like a laser beam on the Lord Jesus. Because that is what the Holy Ghost would have us do. Bless the Lord. Can I hear somebody say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And I read a little bit more here. Then I'm going to turn it over to you. I did stop at verse 6. No, listen to verse 7 and verse 8. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsy, and that were lame, were healed. And there were great joy in that city. That is verse 8. Listen, if you think Philip preaching Jesus alone that caused this to happen, listen to the same thing that happened when Jesus was preaching. Listen to the same thing that happened when Jesus was preaching. Luke chapter 4, and I read now from verse 32 to 37. Listen to what happened. The word said, when Philip was preaching, unclean spirit cried with a loud voice. A loud voice, and came out of many. And as a result of that, there was great joy in that city. Let's see the another passage that speaks to the same thing happening. Only that it was Jesus here on this occasion.
Amen.
Luke 4. I read from verse 32. And they were astonished at this doctrine, for his word was with power. Listen to that, church. His word was with power. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the only one of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had torn him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out. The last verse 37, and the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. Listen to those words there. Just like what happened when Jesus walked into this temple and started to speak, the devil which was in a man, for years this man must have been in the temple, ears possessed with the devil, and nobody knew. Nobody knew. But Jesus walked in there one day and started to speak. And the devil could not hold his peace. The devil had to cry. Because the word of God with authority has exposed him. And he cried and Jesus told him to hold his peace and come out of the man. Devil have exposed when it comes to the raw word of God. That's why I'm emphasizing here tonight that we preach Christ and not ourselves. So that devil will realize the authority that is in the word of God. And will do what is needed to be done to come out and be dismissed from the presence of God's people. And so we are seeing now the beginning of something new that has started outside of Jerusalem, where the word of God has taken center stage in doing its work, powered by the blessed Holy Spirit. Before I get into the next segment, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. On this that I've just shared with you. Philip went down there and he preached Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I don't come to with excellency of speech, but I come in the knowledge and the power of the blessed Holy Spirit as I come to preach Christ. I don't know if you have a thought that you'd like to share right there. Because this is very important here. Because no man can take the place of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we are called to preach. We're called to testify. We're called to witness. We're called to bear witness to the name of Jesus. And we need to recognize our responsibility here as we do it to glorify the Lord. Is there a thought somebody would like to share?
Yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor, Sister Bennett.
Yes, yes.
Verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. But verse 9, there was a certain man. Pastor, you see, when God's work is moving, the devil always tried to show up his head. Because
indeed,
that man, Simon, he was a witchcraft man. And he tried to undermine what Philip was doing for the people in Samaria. The people were so happy. They were so glad to hear of Jesus Christ. And then he comes now with his sorcery. And he did that before. And this verse says, from the least to the greatest. So you see, people in high places were with him, did believe what he was doing. But
yes,
God showed him up. God put it in Philip to rebuke him and in Peter also. So we have to be very careful. You know, sometimes you go to these big revivals and these people come. I remember when I was a young lady, a younger person, were able to move around much. And we go to these big revivals. I remember when I was in that church, and we went to another church, and this woman telling how much check you have to write and what you can do for you and so. So these things were happening in those early days, and it's still happening now. People
yes.
are trying to undermine God's word, and as you said, when you're preaching, preach Christ only. Forget yourself mm-hmm. and
yes.
say what the Lord tell you to say.
Yes. Yes. Very important, Pastor Benedict. Very important. Very important, my sister. We are going to take a close look on from 9 go down, just as you have mentioned it. And the very idea and thought that you have, we are going to take a very close look on them. But it is so important for us to remember that the work is not ours. The work is the Lord's. We are only workers in the vineyard of the Lord. We need to remember that. Yeah, of course, there are certain responsibilities given to us, yes. But we must always remember that our boss is the Lord Jesus. Our boss is the Lord Jesus. And whatever it is that we do, we are answerable to him. The Holy Ghost, as great and wonderful as he is, but he took a total backseat in all of this. And he put the floodlight on Jesus. Jesus is the main person here. Philip went down there in an hostile community. And I say hostile community because being a Jew, the Jews and the Samaritans, they weren't friends. And he went down there in this hostile community and preached Christ. And as a result of the power, the authority of his word, the people who were possessed with demons, the people who were possessed with devils, cried with a loud voice. Reluctantly, the dragon, the devils, who never wanted to come out of them, had to come out because of the authority of the word of God, spoken by God's servant. Crying with a loud voice. The opposition to Philip as a Jew went begging. That was not remembered because of the power of the word that proceeded out of his mouth. Under the anointing of the blessed Holy Spirit. People were crying. People were rejoicing. A change has come as a result of Philip's preaching. Because why? He seek to preach Jesus. Bless the Lord. Let that stay there for a while. Let us talk about something that if you choose to come back here, I'd be glad to discuss more with us on this first section of the study. Because to me it means a whole lot. To me it means a whole lot. It means that we need to focus more upon Jesus to see result. Bless the Lord. But let us move on. Let us go to the section that Sister Bennett just made mention of, and that is from verse 9. We are getting into an era where some people don't like to talk about, but we have to face facts here. There are evil in the world. There are evil in the world. Let's look on what she said. I'm going to ask us to help me to read some passages of scripture tonight. And I'm going to ask one person if you could look up Exodus chapter 7. Reading from verse 8 to verse 12. Exodus 7, read from verse 8 to verse 12. And we're going to ask the next person to look up Acts chapter 13, reading from verse 6 to verse 12. Acts chapter 13, reading from verse 6 to verse 12. And the last one is Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, read verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. So three passages of scriptures I'm going to ask you if you could help me read tonight. Exodus chapter 7, from verse 8 to verse 12. Acts chapter 13, from verse 6 to verse 12. And Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Let's look on what we see here. Verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. And while we are contemplating this, let me ask anybody here what you think, as we just read in this passage, what you think the word sorcery mean? Anybody have any thought that just jumped out at you?
Witchcraft.
Yes, witchcraft. Is there any other word that comes to your mind apart from witchcraft?
Phobia.
Yes. Evildoer, yes.
Iniquity too,
yeah, sure. What about necromancy?
And voodoo.
Voodoo, yes. Mm-hmm. All of these. So you are there. So you understand exactly what is taking place here.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a certain man called Simon, who before time in the same city used sorcery, mm-hmm, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren, let's not fool ourselves as Christians. There are evil in the world.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
There are wickedness in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The invisible power,
mm-hmm,
is there, that is used by the enemy over many centuries. The word tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness
in
high places. We need not fool ourselves here as Christians tonight.
Mm-hmm.
There are wickedness in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those names are titles that you have just called. When I was much younger, there were more privilege in the community than now. I mean, mm-hmm, those words were more privilege in the community than now. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for the gospel. that shine a light in those dark corners. Thank God for the gospel that shut up the mouth for so many of these people, that locked down the operation of so many of these people. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Good, yes, sir.
Here are evil men out there that are being used by the enemy, and they are hostile to the name of Jesus. They don't like Jesus, and therefore they don't like you, and they don't like me.
Oh,
I'd like us to read something here, and I'm going to ask the first person, whoever it is that have Exodus chapter 8, could you please read it so that we can hear something? Exodus chapter 7, I beg your pardon. Exodus 7, from verse 8 to verse 12. Alright, you don't have it, so I'll go ahead and read it. Please remember, Acts 13, verse 6
Exodus 7.
Yes, Exodus 7, from verse 8 to verse 12.
It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded, and Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. That's it.
Okay. Yes, go on until 12. Yes.
Verse 12.
No. Verse 11.
Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said.
Yes.
And the Lord said,
That's good, Sister Henry. Thank you very much. Thank you for reading that passage for us. We have been talking about that we should not fool ourselves, because there are evil in the world. Here is a big demonstration of that. Here is a big demonstration of that. The Lord determined that the children of Israel must be free. And therefore, the Lord sent Aaron and Moses before Pharaoh. But Pharaoh wanted to see some tangible evidence that they are sent by this higher power, who, to a large extent, he refused to believe in. And what it is that had to happen, the Lord told Moses and Aaron what they need to do when they get in his presence, so as to convince him that there is a greater power than himself. And what happened when they got there? Aaron threw down his rod. He had this rod, the staff that he walks with. And Aaron threw it down. And as it hit the ground, it became a serpent, wiggling up itself before Pharaoh, wiggling up itself before Aaron and Moses. And Pharaoh said, well, let's see what is going to happen here. So Pharaoh right away sent for his magicians, his soothsayers, his wise men. He sent for them. And he said, hey, we have trouble on our hands here. We have trouble on our hands. They just threw down their rod. And look what we have wingling up itself before us. A serpent on the ground, wingling up itself before them. And the witchcraft workers, the magician that Pharaoh had in his camp, they all show up with their rods. And they said, I'm going to prove, it's like Pharaoh was saying, I'm going to prove something to you, Moses and Aaron. Mm-hmm. And what did they do? They cast their rods on the floor, on the ground. And every single one of them rods become a serpent. Wingling up, serpent was crawling all over. Wingling up itself on the ground. The powers of darkness, the powers of darkness trying to challenge the power of light. Displaying before humanity so that one could easily look at it and differentiate what is taking place. So I am saying to the church tonight that the power of darkness that prevails all the way down there in Egypt find its way into Samaria at village preaching. And what we find is that those rods which were offering, which were wingling up itself on the floor, all of those rods, Aaron rod just had a field day. Aaron's serpent went about and swallowed up all of these serpents that were fooling around the place. All of these serpents that Pharaoh thought that the power of darkness could counter the power of light. God show who has the superior power. Pharaoh and Aaron's serpent, just look on them over there, waddling themselves. And he just went about having a meal. Swallow them up. Every last one of them was swallowed up by Aaron's serpent, declaring to Pharaoh that the power of darkness shall not prevail against the power of light.
Right.
Before their naked eyes, the power of darkness was challenging the power of light. That is what we see here. The same type of spirit this man used on these people for so many years. But the curse has to stop. The generational curse must stop. Because the word said it is from the least to the greatest. from the children to the most grown men and women in that city that was engulfed in this type of practice. Because a man claimed to possess the power of God was bewitching them over all these years. But here comes the power of God and break the curse that have them bound for many years. And if you think that the activity of the enemy was not known to the general church, you make a mistake. Let's listen to what Paul has to say here. And that is the second reading of the three that I ask you to read. Acts chapter 13, 6 to 12. Can somebody read that? Acts chapter 13, 6 to 12.
Acts chapter 13, 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, he believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Can the church say amen?
Amen. Amen.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. This is how the enemy want to try to stop people from hearing the word of God and be saved. The man sent for God's servant because he wants to hear the word of God. And this guy called himself Bar Jesus. Seemed to want to stop the deputy from hearing God's word. And the servant of God was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost did not make a mistake here, but introducing the fact that Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. Look on him straight in the eye and tell him he will not see the sun for a season. And immediately he was blind. Immediately he was blind. This by Jesus, this enemy of the church, this servant of the devil, seemed to want to block the word of God from reaching the man who's seeking it. God, deal with him right there and then. And he was blind. Somebody had to lead him. I want to tell the church tonight, we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why it is so important for us to put on the whole armor of God. We need to wear it. It is our daily garment. It is our daily garment. We need to wear the whole armor of God. Go to Ephesians chapter 6, please, and read all the different armors there. Above all, we should have the shield of faith. Where we can counter all the fiery darts of the wicked. We are wrestling against these principalities and power. We need to admit that as a church, that the devil wants to destroy God's people. The devil wants to destroy God's work. He has tried to do that so many times in the early church. But every turn that he made, the Holy Ghost was there to oppose him. Let's read just one more. Galatians chapter...
Pastor, just before you go, just before you go to that one, the same verse 12, in spite of all what the devil tried to do, the deputy believed.
Being astonished
at the doctrine of the Lord, not the doctrine of the devil.
The doctrine of the Lord.
The devil cannot prevail.
No, and if you notice, he was astonished at the doctrine. And what doctrine is it? It is that Paul preached, that Philip preached, the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ, it is what is doing it all night. The word of the Lord is what is doing it all night. All right, will somebody just read the last one there for me? Galatians 3, 1.
O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you.
Amen. So the Apostle Paul used the word bewitch. He used the word bewitch, just like what we see here in Acts chapter 8. Verse 9. Use the word bewitch, meaning somebody must have put a spell over you. Somebody must have done something to warp your thinking. Somebody must have derailed your approach to what you should believe that caused you to believe something contrary. You know, I believe that it is so vital for us to be educated and to know that the dragon is seeking to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I come that he might have life, and that he might have it more abundantly. When I read Psalms 91, and I encourage all of us to read Psalms 91,
yes,
it speaks to a covering for the believer. It speaks to a level of protection for the believer. It speaks to a guard for the believer. It speaks to a overall protection, not only for the believer, but for the believer and the believer's family.
Yes.
That's why I encourage all of you, if you have bought a car, pray over it and cover it under the blood of Jesus. If you bought a house, pray and daub on your lintel. Daub on your lintel, your olive oil, signifying the blood of protection over your house. If you get a new job, pray on your job and ask God to protect you on your job. All we remember to involve the Lord in every aspect of our lives, because there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy us. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But time is slipping away. I wish I could spend some more time to delve some more into this, because this is a real devil out there that we need to be mindful of. There's a real devil out there that we need to be mindful of. But let me hurry on here. It's after 9. I want to clear this before we are out here tonight. Verse 12 said, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Hallelujah. A breakthrough has come in Samaria. The curse of many years have been lifted in Samaria. There are people now rushing to the altar to be saved. See a bigger and greater power than Simon Power, and want to get involved with it based on the authority of the word coming from his God servant Philip.
Yes, Pastor. Then, even Simon, the sorcerer, he was baptized because then he believed in Jesus Christ.
Then Simon, Sister Bernice, then Simon himself believed also. And believe also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracle and the sign which were done. A question for all of us here. A question for all of us. Was Simon conversion a genuine conversion? Or was it what you call a false conversion? What are you
talking? Not genuine. A false. Not genuine. Not genuine. He had different motives. He had motives.
Absolutely. Different motives. It was a false.
Yes. And you'll see when you see the motive later afterward. Give me the same power. That is what these preachers want. The same power they put there and on somebody and say all kind of things. And think it's gonna work in the name of Jesus. Their motive is not right. Nothing. The devil get a blow.
Just like a lot of us doing stuff in the name of Jesus and our motives are not right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hear what he said. Give me this power. Give me this power. Yes. You think the Holy Ghost is for sale?
Yes, but let us step back a little bit. and let us read the passage again. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom, I'm reading from verse 12. The kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simeon himself believed also, and when he was baptized,
Simon,
he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracle of the sign which were done. But believers, look, reason with me here for a minute. He filled all the boxes. This man filled all the boxes in conversion. And I'm going to point them out to you. He believed.
Mm-hmm.
He was baptized like everybody else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And he followed Philip like everybody. And if that is not enough, reason with me for a second. If that is not enough, listen to this part, which is most compelling. The spirit of discernment which Philip had did not stop him from baptizing this man.
Mm-hmm.
Philip would have discerned that this is an imposter. The spirit of discernment Philip had, but in Philip's operation, the man filled all the boxes. He's a candidate just like any other who came for baptism. He filled all the boxes. And so Philip, being a servant of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, and nothing can pass the Holy Ghost. It might pass Philip, but he cannot pass the Holy Ghost. The man went through water baptism. And Philip did not object to his water baptism because he filled all the boxes.
But Pastor, you must remember, I'm just saying it to us, you must remember some of us were baptized, believe and baptized, and some of us lost our way, and we had to go back for repentance. So in verse 24, could he just genuinely mean that Philip, remember when you go back in 24 and genuinely ask that he said to, like to Philip, you go back for repentance and pray that none of what you said would fall upon him. Wonder if he really made a mistake and he's sorry. Wonder if he really believed.
Sister Donna. I'm saying something to us here that is very, very delicate. Very delicate.
Yeah. Yes.
Because with Philip, under the power of the Holy Ghost, he was satisfied that the man filled all the boxes. And so he went through water baptism, and he was following and watching and admiring Philip continue to work. Until the devil sin enter through the what? Eye gate. And I want to tell you this eye gate here. This eye gate is a dangerous thing for all believers.
Mm-hmm.
You remember what happened to David? David, men at war.
Yes.
And he went on his balcony, mm-hmm. looking around.
Yes.
And when he looked over yonder, he saw Uriah's wife bathing.
Mm-hmm.
And as one look
mm-hmm.
on the naked woman across town.
Yes.
He sent for her. And then he commit not only sexual sin but murder at the same time.
Murder. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm teaching, that really and truly. You could have believed.
Through the eye gate, Sister Donna. When Peter lay his hands on the believer and they receive the Holy Ghost. And this brother looked and this brother saw. All of a sudden, the enemy said to him, look, you can do this and you can be a bigger man in the society than what you were. Through the eye gate, he lusted for power.
Yes.
Pastor.
Yes.
Can you please explain a little bit more? You use a term here that's called eye gate. And I don't know if everyone understands the eye gate and and how it can impact believers' testimony or our life in doing wrong, and also the fact that Simon got fascinated with what he saw.
Yes.
Happening in front of him, and it is happening today in the world.
Yes.
Still. So explain a little bit more about Highgate.
Because Sister Judy, what happened is that he was used to these signs already, and he was used to these wonders already in a different form. So that's why it didn't work so easy to come back to him.
Exactly. Sister Judy, verse 18. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostle hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. When he saw, that is what the word says. It is fear in what he saw that caused the enemy to use that sin and flush his system. And he saw the opportunity for power. He saw the opportunity to become bigger than what he was before, as Sister Donna has said. And he fell for it.
Yes.
He fell for it.
I totally get that. My reason for asking to talk a little bit more about the eye gate, it's also because there are other parts of our bodies that can be open to sin, which is the ear, too.
The ear, and the tears.
Yes.
The tears, too. How you think people get hooked on drugs. Because the tears, I saw a friend introduce somebody to it.
Guilty. I'm Pastor, where I'm going, way over. I'm going to go way over. You remember Jesus giving the parable, and you spoke about that, about the sower and the seed? Take the one that it fell among thorns. You see, everybody did receive the word, you know.
Yes.
But as you know, in the different soil. But take the one among thorns. It's the cares of this world that choke out the seed, which is the things of the world, it's the money, the pride, the, you know, everything there that just, and these are enmity with God.
Of course.
Yes.
Somebody quickly find 1 John 2:16. 1 John 2:16. I'm telling you, I mean, if sin came through the eye gate, and as a result of that, it plunged him into the web of darkness. And here is where, the gift of discernment comes in, because we were open. All of us were open that. Philip would have exercised the gift of discernment before he baptized him to say that this man is not genuine. But the Holy Spirit was quite silent there. You see, the Holy Spirit was silent there.
And show them on.
This is the time now the Holy Spirit chose to use the gift of discernment through the Apostle Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Peter say to him? But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou art taught that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast need of God in this matter. For thy art is not right in the sight of God. And then here was, listen to this delicate part here again. Verse 22. Peter said to to this brother. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness. Now, Peter did not say, you need to repent and be baptized. Peter did not say, you need to repent and be baptized. Peter realized that the baptism was genuine. All the brother needs to do is to repent of the sin that has crept back into his life.
Exactly. Exactly.
His baptism was genuine. So Peter didn't go there again. Peter said, you need to repent of this. Therefore, repent therefore of this, the wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. When the brother realized now the trouble that is in, because the Holy Ghost was able to look through him and to see his motive. Can you imagine if Simon, if Simeon is able to help his hand on somebody, and then that person start speaking in tongues, and that person start doing different things, can you imagine the type of that he would have had in that community?
Yeah.
But Peter,
Peter
using the gift of discernment, look through him and see all the evil that is packed up inside of this brother. And then
so all these people are in the church.
I'm telling you, Sister Barbara, I'm telling you.
It's in the church.
I'm telling you, we need the gift of discernment.
The pastors need the gift of discernment, every one of us, but mostly the pastors.
Look here. The brother, Peter said to the brother, you need to repent. But when he saw the depth of the misery that he is in based on what Peter said, you know what he resorted to? I am not even taking the chance of praying for myself. He invites Peter to pray for him.
Pray for me, yes. Verse 24.
You know, it's like he reached the place where he said, this is too heavy for me. This is too delicate. This is too difficult. This is too much of a risk. I am not taking the chance of praying for myself. Peter, you pray for me.
It sounds like he regretted.
He regretted it, of course.
Like he had some great regret, yeah.
Regretted it, of course, my sister.
Pastor, you see, when you start to do Bible study, you open up. You remember Saul and Samuel? And when Saul sinned, and he's asking Samuel to pray for him. We need to go to God ourselves and pray, ask God to forgive us, like David did.
Yes.
The pastor can pray for you, but you...
Yes, Sister Barbara, that's why I love the book of Psalms. I love the book of Psalms, how David go back to the Lord and bow down to the Lord and
we're talking about,
dance, you know?
But we're talking about Samuel. People can just, even like the Catholics now, you're going to somebody else and asking them to pray for you. Pastor, we come back in 1 minute. Come, you have to ask Jesus. You've seen us, Jesus, to
pray for you. So that brings out his inexperience, and that brings out his uncertainty as far as himself is concerned. And that brings out the fact that he realized the deep hole that he's in. You see what I'm saying? And he saw that Peter had the power, and Peter had the ability, and Peter cannot miss if Peter prays. So he said, Peter, you pray for me.
He saw enough from Peter where he could trust Peter.
He trusts Peter, my sister. He trusted Peter.
Anyway, Pastor, you soon finish. You said the verse in 1 John, you say you wanted to read.
Oh, yes,
1 John 2. For all that is in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world.
All right. All that is in the world. It comes through the eye gate. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eye. The pride of life. Through the eye gate. This eye here. And no wonder the songwriter said, watch your eye, watch your eye, watch your eye, what they
what
see.
The eye, what you see.
When he saw what Peter did, he offered money that he might receive that power. And time going, but let me just slip this one in. Peter and John were sent for in order to set the church in Samaria in order. Philip was an evangelist, yes. Philip went down there and stir up the people in the name of Jesus. And people got saved. But it takes the apostles. It takes the apostles to come and really set the church in order under the authority, the leadership of apostles, to establish a work in Samaria and let it become official. The apostle has to be the one to do it. And so that's why when they came down and was able to lay hands on those who were baptized, and they received the Holy Ghost. And they went back to Jerusalem. On the way back, they stopped in many different villages, and they themselves preached the gospel under the anointing of the blessed Holy Spirit. And I should click this in, seeing that we are on this part of it. You will remember, John, sometime before Jesus was going to Jerusalem, and he wanted to go through Samaria, and he sent John and James into Samaria to prepare a place for him to lodge on his way over. And they reject Jesus. Samaria reject Jesus. And then you remember what John and James asked Jesus to give them authority to do?
James and John,
when they saw the Samaritans disrespect Jesus, they said, grant unto us the authority to call down fire from heaven and to consume the Samaritan. And Jesus returned to them and said, you don't know what spirit you're of. You don't know the spirit you're of. Because the Son of Man come not to take life, but to save life. That is what Jesus said to them. And here is John come with Peter from Jerusalem. And both of them are laying hands on the converts in Samaria, the same people who he wanted to call down fire on and burn them up. Here is John, happened to come back in Samaria. And this time, what was he doing? He was laying hands on people, and they were receiving the blessed Holy Spirit. Jesus was right. Hallelujah. He came to save life, not to destroy. Oh, my Lord. The scripture is amazing. The scripture is so sweet, it's not funny.
Amen.
The same John happened to come back to Samaria, this time on a different mission. And it was glory and honor brought to the name of Jesus.
Not my might, not my power, but my spirit, said the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And Pastor, the devil that does not like us telling them to call down fire and burn them up before they hear the gospel.
Exactly. They would not have heard if fire came down and burned them up. But Jesus knew that the time was coming. Hallelujah. Yes. When you kill people with the fear. And that is what happened.
The devil is a man.
The devil is a loser, sister. He's a loser, he's a liar, and he's everything that is negative.
He's jealous over Jesus.
That is it for tonight's study. Just bless the Lord. And thank you very much for your input as we will turn it over now to Sister Barbara.